Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty 4. Nathan Skura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Adam Kaplan reporting on Twitter today. The Browns starting left guard Joel Bitonio is not expected to play tonight against the Ravens, per a source. That means, once again, Cam Irving would start against the Ravens. Cam Irving, by the way, not worried about the haters saying they don't have the talent in his fingernail. So he's not worried about people who are calling him out after his not so impressive debut against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He got Debo like strong armed on a few plays.
He did.
And I think the same thing that I just referenced in about Brock Osweiler, you know, his first start, the big stage, you know, that in some cases is what, you know, playing against the Steelers might have been for Cam Irving. And I hope to see significant improvement and an opportunity to evaluate him as a solid pick in the potential future on the offensive line for the Browns.
Absolutely. Let's go now, bring in our producer, Dave DiNatale. Dino, how are you?
Doing well, guys. Hope you had a good holiday.
Certainly did. How was your weekend? Enjoying the bye week and all that?
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, very, very good.
Did you enjoy a lot of foosball yesterday?
You know what? I'm kind of like where Wilhelm was. I was so excited after what Ohio State did on Saturday. I needed a little break from foosball yesterday. But I did catch the second half of the Steelers and the Seahawks.
Okay, so which was a little bit of a track meet.
Yes, but I completely agree with you guys about the refereeing. I mean, they've got to ratchet that up, man. Wow.
So funny, they're ticky tacky about what color gloves, shoes, and socks you wear, but their officials can't even get calls right.
Well, exactly. Exactly. You guys ready for some around the league takeaways here?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
All right, let's go. Actually, hold on a second. Let's go from number 5 to 1 here. Okay. Now let's go, guys.
All right, go ahead, Matt Wilhelm. Number 5 takeaway from week 12 of the National Football League season.
Looking at the Carolina Panthers, rest of their schedule, I believe the Carolina Panthers are Atlanta. The Atlanta Falcons are no threat to the Panthers, and the Carolina Panthers with Riverboat Ron will go 16-0.
You think they will or will not?
I think they will.
Really?
Really? Really?
Yes. And the reason why I say that is because as they secure the number one seed and home field advantage, they're too good defensively that they're not going to be able to sit Kuechly and Thomas Davis and Jared Allen and Norman. They can't sit everybody, so some of them are going to have to play, and it's going to be enough for them to win. Probably versus, I don't even know who, I forget who they play the 17th week of the season, but for them to like lose that football game.
So Carolina was good, and I'm going to build on that. And for my number 5 takeaway, 2 of the teams in the NFC East are dead. Philadelphia Eagles have quit on Chip Kelly. They are dead in the water. Ugly, ugly performance on Thanksgiving. Also on Thanksgiving, when Tony Romo's clavicle went crack after throwing a couple pick sixes, that was the end of the 2015 Dallas Cowboys as well. The NFC East now a two-horse race between the Giants and the Redskins, and the Redskins came away with a huge victory. It was really a no-doubter. The final score was closer than the game was as the Redskins defeated the Giants. And now when you look at the NFC East, the Redskins and the Giants sit atop the division tied at 5-6 right now. But Washington has the division record tiebreaker. They are 5-1 at home, 0-5 on the road. Kirk Cousins is a different guy at home than he is on the road. And that team, Washington Redskins, 5-6. Now, they have a negative 26 differential. The Giants, plus 14. It'll be interesting to see who comes out of there. But it is now a two-horse race. I've declared it. A two-horse race in the NFC East.
And the kids, Eagles, are Dunsky.
Dunsky.
Done.
Done.
Thank God. The Eagles are the only thing that has been keeping Matt and I in this contest with them. Takes the Eagles every week and they get killed.
All right, let's go to you.
Even though I picked against them, the hottest team in the NFL right now, not the Carolina Panthers, but the Houston Texans in a rout of the New Orleans Saints at home. And J.J. Watt, who most likely will not win the Defensive Player of the Year, is the Defensive Player of the Year, single-handedly carrying that football team along with their ability to score. So the Texans right now are the hottest team in football and probably going to represent the AFC South in the playoffs.
It's interesting. Well, they've won 4 in a row. The Colts 5-0 with Matt Hasselbeck at quarterback. The Texans beat up on the Saints. Their defense continues to stifle opposing offenses. They limited the Saints to just 6 points. They've now given up one touchdown, I believe, in their last 18 quarters. And for Drew Brees, it was the end of an era. He failed to score a touchdown for the first time since Sean Payton and Drew Brees arrived in 2006, ending a streak of 155 games that ranks second in the history of the National Football League. 155 straight games they produced at least one touchdown. They did not in this one. That's how good this Houston Texans D is playing. Brian Hoyer, solid performance for the Texans, is there. T.J. Yates won two games for him. Hoyer's back. He wins this one. They won four in a row overall, and they got flexed in for it's either next week or week 14. They got flexed. Let's see if it's week 13. I think it's week 14. They got flexed into prime time. Yes, next week is Indy at Pittsburgh. The following week, week 14, they got flexed in the Sunday Night Football Texans-Patriots. So an interesting battle there.
Where's it at?
I believe it's in New England.
Okay.
I'm going to go with another. You talked about them being red hot. Howb, don't sleep. Don't you dare sleep. That was a big win, by the way, for the Broncos, because here come the Kansas City Chiefs. They are playing excellent football as well. You got to wonder, is Rex Ryan one and done there in Buffalo? The Chiefs now at 6-5, winners of five in a row. They got a buck 60 and a touchdown from Macklin, 69 and a touch from Kelsey. And Spencer Ware, this marks five straight games now for the primary running back. Three of them by Charkandrick West, two by Spencer Ware, where their primary running back has produced over 100 total yards with a touchdown for the Chiefs.
Spoken like a fantasy guru.
Indeed, it is. But they are red hot, and they are alive, very much alive, to try to get into this playoff picture here in the AFC, because it was a big loss for the Chiefs' purposes, obviously. It was a big loss by the Pittsburgh Steelers there in Seattle. As you look at the AFC now, you've got New England's going to lock to win the East. I think the North is going to go to the Bengals. The South, you're probably going to have Indy or the Texans get in and maybe the other out, but because it's possible, because you've only got three other 6-5 teams. The Steelers, the Jets, the Chiefs, and the Texans. 4 6-5 teams all really vying for two spots.
Meanwhile,
my number three, and you referenced them as the potential division winners of the AFC North, but I believe the Cincinnati Bengals will finish as the number one seed in the AFC, which means the Patriots will trip up once, maybe two more times before it's all said and done, and the Bengals will hold suit. Most likely, of course, they have the Browns one more time, the Steelers at San Francisco. They have to go out to Denver, which will be a battle, and then they finish with the Baltimore Ravens. So there's a high likelihood that they're going to be playing their best football probably through that Denver Broncos football game on the road, and then come home as either the number one or number two seed in week 17 and sit Dalton and A.J. Green and some of the other guys against a bad Baltimore Ravens team.
Absolutely, and I'm going to go with my number three takeaway is that Matt Hasselbeck is an ageless wonder. 315 yards, two touchdowns, beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Matt Hasselbeck, 40 years old, undefeated as the starter. The Colts remain on top of the AFC South, thanks in large part to Matt Hasselbeck. How about that guy getting it done at this point in his career? They're 4-0 with Matt Hasselbeck. They're 2-5 with Andrew Luck. Same team.
Changing of the guard.
Send Andrew Luck to us. Get him out of your hair, Colts.
We'll give you every number one.
We'll take him.
Through 2020.
And we'll give you 20 straight years of seventh-round picks for him. The guy's 2-5. Come on.
My number two takeaway from the weekend is, even though I didn't watch a whole lot of football, I do my best to catch up on Monday morning, is Adrian Peterson is an ageless wonder who, I don't believe he was birthed, I think he was hatched. The way in which he continues to play each and every week, climbing up, passing three more people on the all-time rushing list? And I'm a big fan of, like, when LeBron reaches a certain level on a certain list, whether assists, points, or so on, or Kobe does, I look at that list and I kind of like, okay, I average what they're probably going to do on the backside of their career and where they'll end up. I think Adrian Peterson's going to probably have 5 or 6 more thousand yards worth of rushing because of how long he'll probably play at that similar level, which would put him probably third all time.
If he can, wouldn't that be unbelievable? My takeaway, I'm going to go back to Thursday night. There's just something going on with the Green Bay Packers, and it's their wide receivers' inability to separate. Cobb is the only one that can get any separation, but you can neutralize him out of the slot when there are no threats on the outside, and Devontae Adams and James Jones are struggling mightily. The defense of the Chicago Bears, by the way, coming on strong. They're an emerging team right now in the NFC. You got to certainly keep an eye on there, but amazing to me to see just how rough it has been for the Packers. And speaking of that game, though, I did think that the halftime ceremony with Brett Favre and then Bart Starr coming out was very, very cool. One of the cooler moments of the Thanksgiving night as far as it relates to the National Football League.
And finally, guys,
my number one takeaway from the weekend, this goes all the way back to Thursday, you know, having come out of the, you know, the Dallas Cowboys football game with the Romo broken again on his collarbone, and just Drew Brees and his ineffectiveness on, you know, in the game, that there's going to be a changing of the guard both in Dallas and in New Orleans, and they're both going to draft quarterbacks this upcoming year.
All right, my number one takeaway is that the officiating in the National Football League has gotten to a point of dangerous incompetence. Dangerous incompetence. We saw it all over. My father, Pedro, in studio still is beside himself. Pedro, grab the microphone over there. What did you see in that Arizona-San Francisco game? Not that you're a biased 49ers fan or anything, but what did you see in that game from the officials?
I am a 49ers fan, and there were a number of oddities.
A number of oddities. Was that one of the worst officiating performances you've ever seen?
Absolutely.
Do you feel, was there a conspiracy against the 49ers?
No, but I would expect officials to know what down it is and take less than a minute to resolve that issue.
That was about a 10-minute delay. They didn't know if it was second down or third down, Wilhelm. It was pretty outrageous.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They didn't know the rules. If you went out of bounds and caught a pass and came back in without a sandwich, it was automatically incomplete. So they ended up with another scenario where it should have been fourth down and kicked field goal. Instead, they made it third down. They forced them to take the penalty. Palmer almost threw an interception. It was dropped. It ended up not changing anything. They still made the field goal. But just it was a complete debacle. There was, as we talked about, a sequence where there were six straight penalties at the goal line, five of them pass interferences. It was a joke. Awful.
Is this a situation where the organization, like the 49ers, should like eat the fines that their players may have to pay for their words?
Yes. Pedro, would you volunteer to a Kickstarter for to cover the players'
GoFundMe.
Fines?
Absolutely not. They make enough on their own.
Pedro Zagura, everybody, put your hands together. All right. When we come back, we'll go back to phone lines 216-578-0850. We also will go ahead and get into the defensive side of the football for the Ravens and the Browns. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.